Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, it's Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your colour and style questions. First one in my lucky dip today comes from Ruth, who said, I just watched your post about flattering necklines and how matching your jawline is best. I don't wear the type of necklines I would look best in due to modesty reasons. How does wearing something under a V-neck or a scoop neck affect the ideal neckline of the scoop or V-neck? Can I use necklaces over a boat or crew necks to get this ideal neckline instead? And the answer is yes. Simple answer is yes. So if you want to wear a higher neckline, I mean, you can still look for a kind of like you have a V-neck, say. You could still look for a narrow, like not a deep V, but a narrower V. I mean, ideally, the neckline is kind of the shape of the jaw from the base of the ears and that sort of distance as well. But if that is uncomfortable for you for modesty reasons, no reason why you can't create that neckline using a longer necklace or pendant. So a pendant's going to create more of a V, but a necklace will create more of a scoop. So really, it is quite easy to do this. Just look at your balance points. Make sure that the necklace or pendant goes to your first balance point. So do check out the blog. So your first balance point is the length of your face, same distance down from the base of your chin. So for most people, it comes at the top of the cleavage on the breastbone. But you can always do your own measurements. I have got blog posts about that and how to do it. So absolutely, you can use scarves. You can use necklaces to create that illusion. So it is not too hard to find that. Don't think that you have to only wear. So if you want to wear a high neckline, so I always suggest if you are wearing a neckline that's really a less flattering neckline, and look, you know, not every perfect garment is out there, and sometimes we have to settle for things where the neckline's not as great as it could be. There are things I do where either I'll put a really big chunky necklace over the top of it so you don't really see the neckline, or I'll put a scarf on and that covers the neckline up. Or if you have it in a more skin colour, so it could be, you know, something like a pinkish of your skin, so depending on your sort of skin enhancer pink, not too dark, then when if you put something a little bit, you know, or you have your undertop like that, that you have that in your kind of skin colour, then it isn't going to kind of interfere too much with creating that kind of nice length and height through the head and neck. So do think about kind of, you know, like wearing that underneath piece, the piece that's the high neckline, in something that blends fairly well with your skin as well, just as a little idea if you want to wear the lower neckline over the top and be covered, or just wear a top and, you know, with a high neckline and create that, you know, other neckline with your jewelry. So with the high neckline, ideally go for your second balance point. That's usually just underneath the collarbone, which is fairly high up here. Or you can have a collar like this, which is really high, and it's not to do with my neckline. Next question today comes from Susan, who says, I struggle with finding clothes as there is so much inconsistent sizing between stores. This is totally true. The reason is there is no standard sizing. You know, I was told a story that back in Australia anyway, I don't know about the rest of the world, but I imagine it's kind of fairly similar. But back in the, I think it was, you know, something like September 1969, the garment manufacturers of Australia went to Australian Women's Weekly and said, hey, we want to, you know, update our standard sizing, because the last time we did sizing was pre the Second World War, and people have got a lot, you know, like we've got bigger since then. We've got better nutrition. People have got larger. The sizing isn't working anymore. And so they asked the Women of Australia to send in their measurements. And they gave them some instructions, you know, bust, waist, hips, shoulders, all those sorts of things. But they told them to take the measurements over their foundation garments. Now, back in 1969, for many people, this included a girdle. So that was already altering the measurement. And then they got the measurements in and they did this new sizing standard. And then they discovered that it still didn't fit. And this is because the women lied about their measurements. They, you know, added some to their bust and they took off some from their waist. They might have taken off some from their hips. So this is the thing, because they didn't send their real measurements in. And so therefore, they kind of threw it all out. And look, and there is a bit of politics in sizing as well, that some brands like to size smaller because they don't want larger people in their clothes. Other brands like to size larger. So it really can depend. And this is true with sizing also can relate to whoever is their fit model and her body shape. So if you've got someone that the designer uses to try all the clothes on, so when they're kind of designing the clothes, you'll often find that if you have a fit model who is, say, curvier, then the brand will be curvier and therefore the measurements will be different than someone who is straighter up and down. So some brands are more straight up and down, some are curvier. So that's going to influence those measurements as well. Now, as much as it's really annoying to go, I'm not a size 10 in every single brand across the world or whatever size you might be, the fact is that women's bodies are so different from each other. We have breasts or, you know, larger breasts, smaller breasts, medium breasts, you know, larger arms, larger stomachs, larger hips, smaller hips, you know, and we have booty out the back, we have booty out the side, we have, like, you know, the variety is we have broader backs and shoulders, we have narrower shoulders and backs. There is such a variety of body shapes in women. And if sizing was incredibly standard, it would be very hard for most of us to get dressed because we are just not standard people. We are not standard human beings. And so therefore we need variety. So I know it's frustrating. The thing to do is to look at the measurements they give you to say, this is the, you know, waist measurement for our size, this or that. If you are buying online, otherwise, I just say, if you're going into a store, take multiple sizes into the change room. Don't worry about the size. Just try them on and find the best size for you. And this is where sometimes when you get to know different brands, you'll find in this brand, I'm a this size. In another brand, I'm a different size. And it can depend on the size, like the style of the garment. For a lot of oversized garments, you can go down, you know, two sizes and it's still going to fit you quite, you know, well. So this also depends on the, you know, like that style of the garment. Also, what is the fabric made of? The more stretch in a fabric, the more likely you are that the size is a little bit less important, that you can, you know, fit into different sizes than something that is truly woven and much more structured and, you know, and stiffer. So as much as I know you are frustrated by the inconsistency between sizing, as much as this is really annoying and I understand it is, it also means that there is something out there for everybody. And if you really hate it, if this is where, you know, making your own clothes or going to a dressmaker, having your measurements taken and having them make everything for you, that's going to be completely consistent. But I know it is frustrating. And the reality is a lot of manufacturers are trying to fit as many bodies into a garment as possible rather than necessarily flattering them. So it is one of those things. I look at the measurements. If you're buying online, also read the reviews because people will talk about this size is large, this size is small. So you'll often get really good information when you read reviews online as well about how some manufacturers will cut and size their clothes. But also too, so I know I've, you know, been into stores where I've thought, oh, this looks like it's going to be great. Like on the hanger, I go, it should work for me. And then I get into the change room and there's something about how they've cut the shoulders or the armholes or the waist where you go, this is not cut for my shape. So even though it technically should work, it doesn't. And it can just be to do with, you know, just little tweaks in how they cut things. So I know it's frustrating. Sadly, there is no solution unless we are just all clones of each other, which would be incredibly boring. Last question today comes from Mary Lee, who says, my weight is settled in my middle. I'm attempting to lose weight, but even if I do, I believe I'll never have a waist again. I'm a rectangle. At my best, I'll be a small rectangle. It's quite a change since my use when I was an hourglass. I'm also short, so when I attempt to hide the middle with long tops, I have no legs. I don't think it's possible to dress this and look attractive in any way. I try to be moderate and so have lost interest in clothes. And this really saddens me, Mary, because I'm a rectangle and I hate to think that all the other rectangles in the world can't be stylish. So there are many ways of dressing a rectangle body in a stylish way. It's just because you've had a lifetime of being an hourglass, you have got used to the clothes that work for hourglasses, the shapes and styles that work for hourglasses, and they no longer work for you. And this is where you have to re-educate yourself about what does work for you now. Because bodies do change, particularly after menopause, you know, we do tend to lose our waist. And this is because When we're estrogen dominant, we're more likely to put on weight through hips and thighs and bottom. And when we lose that estrogen through menopause, we then kind of tend to start to put on weight through the torso. And so this is why, you know, we tend to lose or add weight through menopause through the torso, the waist disappears. So it's learning to dress the new shape that you have. Now, as a someone who is petite, the best thing you can do is dress in a column of color. So this is where we have a fairly unbroken line from the top to the bottom, not changing color. So rather than wearing the black pants and the white shirt or, you know, anything like that where there is a distinct line in between, what we want to do is dress in similar colors head to toe. Now, a dress is a really simple way of doing this. You don't even have to think about it. It is naturally a column of color. Otherwise, you can just find tops in similar colors to your bottoms and wear those. You can then wear a different colored jacket or cardigan or outer layer, but that middle section between the top and the bottom do match each other. And this creates a long unbroken line and it does not draw attention to your waist. Absolutely, those long tops are going to cut your legs off. If you've already got shorter legs, if you're already petite, the last thing you want to do is wear long tops to cut your legs off. But this is where the column of color is the king. It is the best and incredibly flattering way of dressing a rectangle, and then also understanding that you no longer want to draw attention to your waist. Because you used to have a waist, you're used to putting things on there, but now you want to look for things that are, I always say, keep it boring and plain through the waist and draw attention up here to your portrait area. So put something on that's interesting up here, whether it's a scarf, some jewelry, you know, an interesting, you know, pattern or anything like that. You can do that through the top. So that is the easiest way of doing it. I've got heaps of other tips on my blog for finding clothes that work for, you know, hiding your tummy and things like that. So just search up tummy on the blog and you will find lots and lots of advice there. But please don't give up. It really saddens me to think that because your body shape's changed and you have an assumption somehow that you can't be stylish anymore, when I think you can be stylish at every shape, at every age of your life.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you'll discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.